From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. As Maryland plans to ramp up the number of school police officers across the state, Baltimore City School Board considers whether its force should carry guns during the school day. They currently cannot. Maurice Kennedy, director of the National Association of School Resource Officers, describes the role of officers in schools and the training they need. Then Jennifer Bevan-Dangle of the nonprofit Advocates for Children and Youth lays out the concerns she's hearing.
While there are parents who appreciate that the police are on call, are available, I think the concern is that a policeman or woman with a gun in these schools may also be a danger or a threat to these students.
Should school police carry guns? It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. The Maryland Safe to Learn Act of 2018, passed on the last day of the legislative session, ramps up plans for police officers, called school resource officers, in public schools. It mandates $10 million to provide police coverage in jurisdictions that don't have school officers, as well as millions more to improve the physical safety of facilities and conduct safety evaluations. In Baltimore City, schools are patrolled by the school system's own police force, and officers are prohibited from carrying guns during the school day. The school board is considering asking the state legislature to change that policy. Maurice Mo Kennedy is executive director of the National Association of School Resource Officers. He's a former lieutenant with the City of Hoover, Alabama Police Department. He joins me on the line from Hoover. Welcome to the show, Mr. Kennedy.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
What is the role of a school resource officer?
The number one goal of a school resource officer should be to bridge the gap between law enforcement and youth. And what that basically means is taking a relationship-building process, community-based policing, into the school environment and making that the number one goal. When they do that, they're going to have the opportunity to have great conversations with students, with their parents, with educators in the building. And from those conversations, they're going to get great intelligence, great information on, you know, students' concerns that are going on campus and off campus, and gives SROs an opportunity to follow up on investigations that in many instances have stopped an act of violence from occurring.
Is there a difference between a sworn police officer and a school resource officer?
The definition of a school resource officer has three important points to it. This is the federal definition. The first thing that comes across in that definition is that they should be a sworn certified law enforcement officer. The two other points of that definition is that, number two, it should be a community-based policing approach. And then thirdly, there should be strong collaboration between the law enforcement agency and the school district.
Is Baltimore unique among your members in having a designated school police force whose officers are not permitted to carry guns in school?
Are they unique in having their own school police department or school force? A little bit, but we certainly do some work with other school districts that have their own department. Los Angeles School Police Department is a partner of ours, so they're a little bit unique in that arena. But the issue of them not being armed makes them very unique. It's a very unusual situation and one that is disconcerting, to be quite frank, to have sworn law enforcement officers in that role and them not being able to be armed.
Why is that disconcerting?
I was a police officer for 25 years, and I loved every minute of it. I really enjoyed serving my community here. But I cannot imagine raising my right hand and being sworn in to protect and serve the community and not being armed to do that. We live in a society where there are a lot of guns. and that's not a statement on the gun debate, just as fact, that are used in a lot of crimes. And how am I supposed to defend innocent civilians in that situation if I'm not properly armed and prepared to defend against that?
In March, a student at Great Mills High School in Southern Maryland shot two classmates, killing one of them, and then shot himself. What role do school resource officers have in protecting students from gun violence?
Well, Deputy Blaine Gaskell in that situation performed heroically. We actually gave him one of our awards of valor at our national conference this summer. It was actually presented to him by the Attorney General of the United States at our conference. And he did exactly what SROs should be trained to do. And that is, you know, if we get to that point that shots are fired, we as SROs need to go direct to that threat and to do what we have to do to stop it. And as I understand from the report, Deputy Gaskell was fired around and hit the suspect as the suspect was taking his own life. So we certainly are aware that when the suspect realized that it was over because the deputy had confronted him, that's what ended the situation.
This is On the Record on WIP. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Mo Kennedy, Executive Director of the National Association of School Resource Officers. We're talking about the role of school resource officers as well as the debate in Baltimore City over whether school police should carry guns in school. What does your organization do to promote training for school resource officers?
Well, we actually train school resource officers all over the country, as well as in some other countries. We have been doing that for, 28 years now. We have a variety of trainings, one of those being the basic foundational training for law enforcement officers who are going to work in schools. We have a variety of advanced trainings. We also have a very large national conference every summer, 1,000 to 1,200 officers usually in attendance. And it just so happens that we're actually going to be doing one of our national school safety leaders summits in Baltimore County in December, December 2nd through the 4th.
In Baltimore City, as you probably know, we have students of color, students who've experienced trauma, students with disabilities. Is there additional guidance that school resource officers need to make sure they're sensitive to the experience of those pupils?
Oh, absolutely. And we have, over the years, we have added a lot of those elements into our training, especially our basic SRO course. We have a significant block on understanding adolescent brain development, a block on implicit bias. It's a two-hour session that really takes them through understanding a better appreciation for different cultures and students coming from different circumstances and how to engage with them. We also have just about always had a pretty significant block on special education. That's one of the areas where, as a law enforcement officer, if you go into a school environment with no understanding of that, that can really be confusing, and you can really kind of get blindsided by it. And I know when I became an SRO, I was so thankful that I got to go through that training before I started working in a school, especially with the special education information. Very, very helpful.
Is every officer right for the school environment?
No. This is the most unique assignment in law enforcement. When you place a law enforcement officer in an educational environment, it doesn't get to be more unique than that.
Amplify that for me a bit. I mean, what then makes a good school resource officer even before the training?
There's a couple of things that have to happen. They have to be properly selected, and they have to be specially trained. In terms of that proper selection, there are a lot of things to consider in that. They need to be veteran officers. Here where I worked with the Hoover, Alabama Police Department, it was required that you had to have been an officer with our department for a minimum of 3 years. So that gives us a good record of that officer's work product, of any disciplinary history, and so we know who that person is. We you know, and it's like, not like a new entity to us. We also look at things like their volunteer activities. Do they volunteer as a coach in youth sports? Are they Boy Scout or Girl Scout leader? You know, have they done other volunteer work with youth that's meaningful? And then also the overall temperament. You know, this is an interesting balance of a person that we're looking for, because it's got to be a person that can have a soft enough edge to be in the middle of doing some informal counseling with a student, or even going into a classroom to help educate students on law-related issues, and then at the flip of the switch, be the best possible tactical officer that the department has to offer to protect students.
An analysis by the Obama White House in 2016 found that minority students are 20 to 40% more likely to attend a school where there is a school law enforcement officer but no guidance counselor. Picking up on what you said about if school resource officers are supposed to act as mentors, aren't guidance counselors important to that mission?
Well, they're critically important. And I would hate the thought of being an SRO in a school without guidance counselors or without mental health specialists. When I was an SRO, our closest relationships in our school environment were with our clinical intervention specialists. We worked as a team. The idea there was, let's do what's best for the student. And so when you have that opportunity to be able to work with guidance counselors and with mental health specialists, it just enhances what you're doing and as an SRO and gives you a better opportunity to help a student.
Let me ask you about school discipline. How do officers know when it is their place to step in or when it's a discipline problem that the school should handle?
Yeah, that's a really good question. That's something we work very hard on. You know, sometimes in the law enforcement world, we're living in a black and white world to a degree that, you know, it's either you've either broken a law or you haven't. Now, that doesn't mean that we're always going to arrest for that or we're always going to write a traffic citation for that. But it's still a little more black and white. When you get into the school environment, there's a lot of gray area that occurs. And one of the things is a good SRO, through good training and already having a good skill set, they learn quickly that they have a lot of other support elements around them, support elements that you don't have out on the street. For example, when you're in a school and maybe you're in the lunchroom and you have a couple of students in a shoving match, well, I don't have to arrest them because there's school administration around, educators that are able to deal with that with their disciplinary process, and I don't have to get involved in that discipline. As a matter of fact, we tell SROs that come through our training very bluntly, do not get involved in formal disciplinary procedures. That belongs to the school.
Critics, I'm sure you know, are concerned that the presence of police puts children at risk of contact with the criminal justice system. What do you say about that?
I think the lack of presence makes them more vulnerable. What I mean by that is when you have a good SRO program, and I'm talking about one that's based on the foundations that we've discussed, you're going to wind up with less arrests. And here's the way that works, because I did it. When you build relationships, not only with the students, but with the educators, there's less need for arrest. If you can imagine that situation where we've developed this great working relationship, things are going well with the students, and you remove that person, you remove that SRO from that environment. Well, now what happens? Well, when there's a disruption, now there's a 911 call, and you've got an officer coming from outside of the school who has no relationship with the school, who's coming to solve your problem, and that's usually going to be solved through arrest. There's no doubt that there are a lot of arrests made by officers from outside of the school. And I would also say this, in situations where police are placed in schools and it's not done properly, there's probably more arrests than we need in that situation. That's the reason this has to be done the right way. It has to be the right people. It has to be the right foundation for it to be effective.
I'm grateful to you for talking with us.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Maurice Mo Kennedy is Executive Director of the National Association of School Resource Officers and a former lieutenant with the City of Hoover, Alabama Police Department. Quick break here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. When we come back, a view from Baltimore. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Baltimore City Schools held a public meeting 3 weeks ago to discuss whether school police officers should carry guns on school grounds. Unlike other jurisdictions in Maryland, city schools have their own police force. There are roughly 100 police officers stationed primarily at high schools. 3 years ago, these officers were ordered to place their guns in a safe or lockbox during school hours. Since the school year began, there have been 2 incidents in which students brought guns to school. No one was injured in either event. We asked the head of City School Police, Chief Akil Ham, to participate in this conversation. The Baltimore City Schools Communications Office declined our offer. Jennifer Bevan-Dangle, Executive Director of the nonprofit Advocates for Children and Youth, joins us now. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you for having me.
What concerns have you heard from parents in Baltimore City about the proposal for school resource officers to carry guns?
Certainly, this has proven to be a very divisive topic. When the idea was first floated in 2015, there was a broad public outcry against the proposal, and we're seeing a lot of echoes of that even today. A petition's already been formed online where parents can sign and say, "Do not move forward with this change."
Do you have a sense of whether that's the preponderance of feeling?
From our conversations with community members, and certainly when you look at some of the thought leaders, NAACP, Legal Defense Fund, and other advocates in the city, there's a strong concern against having police carrying guns in our schools.
Well, I would think with news about school shootings, mass shootings in schools, as well as the kind of gun-related incidents I talked about, that some parents may feel safer knowing that there's an officer with a gun who can protect their students. What would you say to parents who see it that way?
Well, there are parents who appreciate that the police are on call, are available. I think the concern is that a policeman or woman with a gun in these schools may also be a danger or a threat to these students. And unfortunately, we're living in an era where we're seeing the disproportionate impact of police shootings on people of color, and we're living in a city that knows too well a legacy of disproportionate impacts of police on communities of color. And people are very concerned we'll see that start to be reflected in our schools.
Data from Baltimore City Schools indicate that 6 years ago, there were 478 school-based arrests. That number has fallen significantly. Fox 45 News reports there were just 85 such arrests last year. What do you make of that change?
We think that's tremendous progress. And Chief Ham should be credited with the work that he's been leading, especially in the last 2 years.
Chief of the school police force.
Yes. There's been a real emphasis on de-escalating situations, on using more trauma-informed practices to meet the students where they are, to work with them, and to not fall into this knee-jerk, responsive, arrest-based culture. And we're seeing it work. We're seeing students staying in school and thriving in school. And that's one concern we have. The trust that's been slowly built up through this work would be very eroded by having armed police officers back in the schools all of a sudden.
In June, the Baltimore City School Board adopted a new policy for school resource officers. What does it do?
That policy was a very significant step forward. It codified some of this new thinking that Chief Ham had been starting to push forward, that restorative practices, de-escalating situations, saying that even if an officer needs to walk away, that's what's appropriate, and clarifying that if there's no immediate threat, that the discipline should stay in the hands of the school and the school administration, that the police should really just be there for that last resort, real immediate threat type of situation. So it gave a lot more clarity over roles and how to work with students who are coming to school often with a history of trauma, with a history of having seen violence play out in their neighborhoods, and really need those schools to be a safe and welcoming place.
I'm struck by your use of the word clarity, because I would think there's kind of a gray area between what is a discipline issue and something where a school police officer needs to get involved.
And historically, there has been. And I think when you look at the era when we had 800 arrests or more, a lot of that stemmed from police stepping into a situation or maybe even a confrontation between students that really could have been resolved and should have been resolved by the school administration themselves. And what the new policies do is clarify that students arguing in a hallway, a student getting up and aggressive maybe with a teacher in their body language, that even that should stay with the school administration, and that the police should only step in again in that last resort immediate threat. And so it does help keep the students in school, in the school system, and out of that school to prison pipeline where we know their results are going to be significantly impacted.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Jennifer Bevan-Dangle, Executive Director of Advocates for Children and Youth, about a proposal in Baltimore City to allow its school police force to carry guns on school grounds during the school day. The city school board does not have the power to change this law, but they can ask the state legislature to make a change. Do you have a sense of where the debate goes from here?
We've been very glad to see that the debate is at least starting with the community. And we're hopeful that based on the community response we're seeing so far, based on the comments that have been received, that alone might be enough to provide clarity on how the community wants to move forward, which so far seems to be with this policy not being put into place. And if the community is strongly opposed, we would hope that that would be listened to and that would be the end of it. If not, or if the community is split, or if it isn't that clear, it would go to the legislature. It'll be a brand new legislative session starting in January with potentially a lot of new faces. And it could be a very interesting debate, given that we have a lot of new elected officials from the city as well.
The Baltimore City School Police Unit of the Fraternal Order of Police is advocating for school police officers carrying guns in Baltimore schools. Who else is on that side of the argument?
This does seem to be coming from police, from some of these SRO organizations. We've seen the bulk of the opposition, again, coming from community, civil rights groups, advocates who say too often a police with a gun in a school is only going to lead to unfortunate results. In fact, in the last few years, just since 2014, there have been 30 incidents nationwide of armed police and the guns being discharged accidentally, either because the policeman left it where a student could reach it, or because the policeman or woman himself or herself shot it off accidentally. Across the nation, we're seeing these reports. And so there's certainly grounds to question how this would really play out in the school setting in Baltimore.
The Maryland Association of School Resource Officers estimates that during the 2016-2017 school year, more than 300 police officers were assigned to schools across the state. This year, the state budgeted millions of dollars for hiring more officers in schools around Maryland. Is the state designating money for training also?
The bill did not have a robust budget behind it, so I think that's a question that will have to be answered in this year's budget and by the incoming legislature. But that's our question. Are the police going to get trained in carrying guns, shooting guns, and that will be the focus? Or will these police be trained in trauma-informed care, restorative practices, how to de-escalate situations, cultural sensitivity, implicit bias, all of the tools that we know are leading to the success stories in the city and that are honestly what the state and the city should continue to invest in? Or will that money instead be pulled into just let's have these guns in schools and let's get trained in how to use them?
It seems as if that legislation that came out of the 2018 session of the General Assembly will ramp up the total number of police officers in this state. Do you think that's the right track for Maryland to be on?
The question of whether police should be in schools is very community by community. And whether or not there should be a police presence, even in Baltimore, we've heard from parents who have said, I like the comfort that there is a police officer available if there were to be a significant problem. Where we are seeing a harder line drawn from community and from advocates is around whether those officers should be armed. It's also important to note in Baltimore, you're dealing with a population of students who have witnessed too often gun-related violence, police violence in their communities. So it's a different type of student body, and it's a different trauma. And so the question of having guns in our schools is very different than the question of having guns, say, even across the line in Baltimore County. Because here we're really worried about re-traumatizing students and making sure that they feel safe in their school climate. And introducing guns into that situation has a very different impact than in some of our other jurisdictions.
Jennifer, I appreciate your talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jennifer Bevendangle is Executive Director of Advocates for Children and Youth. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for joining us this morning. Happy Halloween.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.